Good morning, and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. Just call 716-433-1433.
All right, and good morning, everyone. Today is Friday, August 9th, 2024, and I am pleased to say that I am joined in studio with our very own Dr. Ken Kerbs from Kerbs Chiropractic Family Wellness. Good morning, Dr. Ken.
Good morning, Eric. How are you today?
I'm happy. Happy to be here. Happy you're here.
It's great. Well, I'm happy to be here, too.
Yeah, you know what? It's happiness. That's an interesting conversation in and of itself, because it's been my experience that happiness is a decision.
It absolutely is. And, people will always put parameters on it. Like, if I get this, then I'll be happy. Or if I can accomplish this, then I'll be happy.
Yeah. So
why can't you just be happy?
That's right. But they get the results mixed up with the goals.
Yeah, unfortunately, that happens.
It's tough. I got to have the latest and greatest new phone. That'll make me happy.
Yeah.
If I get a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend, that'll make me happy.
Right. And they always do momentarily.
Yes, for five minutes.
They always do. It's like, I mean, I always like something new or like to accomplish something or complete a task, and it always makes me happy. But there's some fulfillment in that. But yet, so many times people are dependent on that to make them happy.
Right.
And they choose not to be happy.
That's
if
right.
They don't get it,
That's right. And how many people are dependent on other people for their happiness?
Yeah, right.
And that's, I came to the conclusion a long time ago, I am solely responsible for my own happiness.
Yeah, right.
It is my decision. When I wake up in the morning, I make several simple decisions.
Right.
And one of them is just to have a good day and a good attitude and to hopefully do better than I did the day before.
Right.
And that's my goal. And without having to rely on exterior or anything extraneous for my happiness, it works out really, really well that way.
Yeah. I have back, it's been almost 3 years. I'm in my third year right now, but 3 years ago for Christmas, my daughter, Hannah, bought me a book called The Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday.
Okay.
And Ryan Holiday writes a lot of books on stoicism and different things like that. And at first when she gave it to me, I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. But I was like, what am I going to do? And the one reason that I looked at it was because it is a daily passage that you read. So it's 366 days because we include leap year. Okay. And it's just you're reading one page related to whatever day of the week you're in during the year. And I started reading it. I'm thinking, okay, good. This takes me, but a few minutes each day. But it is incredible. I am now in my third year. I read that every single day. I'm now rereading it for the third time. And it's just part of my morning routine is I read my Daily Stoic. And that's mm-hmm. And it constantly keeps bringing you back to center again. Because believe me, I have my ups and downs. I have my good days, my bad days. I have my what I call my crap that I get into in my own head and all that stuff.
Yes.
We all do that.
Oh, isn't that just a joy?
But it's an amazing thing that when I do that, I read that and it kind of goes, okay, wake up here. Let's go back to it. And it has a lot of quotations from, different Stoic, Marcus Aurelius and Seneca and different historical figures like that.
Right.
But I recommend it to anybody. It's a wonderful book. It's not something you're going to sit down and read the whole book in a weekend. It's designed to read one page a day. Every day of the year.
Right.
Like I said, I'm on my third time through it.
Right. And maybe just for some listeners that don't, that aren't familiar with Stoicism, it's, self-reliance, self-centered. It comes back to self-responsibility,
right.
Really.
It's a philosophy,
yes.
And it's about establishing a philosophy for yourself, whether it be that or not. But, our entire lives are based on philosophy. We don't realize it. Most people don't have any idea. But you all have a philosophy. It may not be beneficial to you, but have a philosophy.
Yeah. The favorite one for young people is, I'm not here for a long time, so I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah. And, hey, listen, I see that in my practice every day,
right,
is the price you pay for that.
Yes.
Okay. Is never looking at or thinking about the future. You know, the decisions that I make, you know, I've said this before in the past, is like the way you are today is a direct result of decisions you made in the past.
Right.
And the way you're going to be in the future is a direct decision, direct result of the decisions you make today. You know, so you think about that. And I wish people could, especially young people, could understand that.
Right. Because today is
early
the
age.
Today is the youngest you're ever going to be.
Right.
And it's the best looking you're ever going to be.
Right.
It is the best health you're ever going to have.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Well, unless you make some changes.
Right. Again, yeah. People make changes,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, if you're in really crappy health, it's because of decisions that you made long ago.
Right.
You know, but you have the ability to change that. You have the ability to literally turn that around.
I do.
Now, there are sometimes people have gone too far. You know, and they can't do that. But most of the time, if you can't totally correct, you can make some significant changes.
That's
if we
right.
got a call, let's go to the
We do. Let's go. Do that.
Yep.
All right. Good morning, caller. You are on with Dr. Ken Kerbs. What is your thought, comment, or question, please?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Olympic swimmer, I think from Great Britain, made a complaint about the food at the Olympic Village.
Uh-huh.
He said that there... Well, of course, France is in the green movement. Now, he said there's not enough protein in the meat. Their meats are mostly plant-based.
Yeah,
of their meat. And he said his training program, he says you get more protein from real meat, not this. Do you have any comments on that?
I have all kinds
and
of
there
comments.
Was worms.
I have comments. Oh, my God.
There you know worms what? In some of that food.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it is an absolute...
Oh, one thing else.
Yeah, go
one
ahead.
Thing else he said... The meat they gave him was fish. It had worms in, so he didn't eat it.
Yeah. Truly unbelievable. We are on the world stage right now, you know, the Olympics. I mean, this is a worldwide event. And we have been, when I say we, I mean what they're doing, the planners are trying to push these agendas that they want to do. You saw it in the opening ceremonies with the whole... depiction of the Last Supper, you know, which was truly amazing that they did something like that.
Also, and no air conditioners. You heard that, right?
Oh, really? No.
They had to take their own air conditioner there.
Wow.
It's what? Less for the environment or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Less electricity used.
Right. Again, we're virtue signaling again. You know, now we're virtue signaling to the world. And this whole plant-based movement is just one of the biggest scams ever pulled off. You know, we are not saving the planet by doing plant-based. You realize that in the agricultural industry, okay, of farming, of raising your, quote, fruits and vegetables, more animals are killed, you know, in those situations than there are in anything else. There's tens of thousands of animals killed for the ability to raise the food that you claim is going to save the planet. And again, plant-based protein is not the same as animal-based protein, okay? It is, yes, it's protein, but it is not nearly as bioavailable as regular plant protein. And I'm glad someone spoke out about it. I mean, I would have a huge issue with that. You know, if you're going to fill me with some fake burger that's made up of 40 or 50 different ingredients rather than just serving the appropriate human diet, and that is real meat, real fish, clean and, you know, I mean, ethically raised and so forth.
Does an animal-based protein also have more minerals?
Absolutely. It has everything you nutritionally need, you know, from minerals, vitamins, and so forth, you know, that you get everything you need from an appropriate animal-based diet, and especially a meat-based diet with the fat. Okay, it goes back to 2015, you know, where, you know, they have literally debunked the whole issue of saturated fat and cholesterol leading to heart disease. There's no correlation, you know, between dietary fat and heart disease. You know, it's pretty much based on an inflammatory process, and we become very inflamed because of what we eat, and that is a high carbohydrate, highly processed diet that we eat. That's what creates more of a health problem than anything else. And yet meat and saturated fat has gotten the blame for it. for the last 50 years. And it's a situation that, you know, the cycle needs to be broken at some point. However, right now we're in this horrible issue of pushing this whole plant-based, you know, save the planet green movement that really is very questionable on what it's going to do in the long run. Spends a lot of money doing it, but...
Well, they say what? The meat-based animals give off methane, which is going to
heat the earth up, which is that's another part of the scam that goes on. You know, you realize
warming nonsense as far as death
right.
cycles for years.
Yeah, how about the exhaust that comes out of your car? You know, with that concerns me more than whether a cow farts in the field or not. You know,
no one says about the thousands of planes. Hundreds of thousands across the world that go through the atmosphere every day.
Right. It's the biggest bunch of hypocrisy you've ever seen. So think about that. Just think about this, okay? Yes, we have a cattle industry. And, yep, you know, if you're in a concentrated feedlot, you know what? There's going to be some increased methane because you've got thousands of cows that are literally packed together, you know, that in that isolated area, there's going to be that. But think about that. Go back, you know, a couple hundred years when millions and millions of bison roam the plains. Okay, nobody was concerned about global warming then. You know, we don't have that anymore. You know, and yet, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, we're on this agenda of really pushing this whole situation. It's incredibly frustrating, and it's misleading people in ridiculous ways that, you know, you see these activists out there just getting crazy about all this stuff, and it's just so senseless. So senseless.
Well, there could be climate warming, but that's because of cycles, not because of what's in the atmosphere.
You're exactly right. It's cycles. You know, that's what happens with the world. You know,
remember, 12,000 years ago, there was like a mile high ice sheet above us right now, where we are now.
Yeah.
And there was no warming from emissions back then to change it.
Right. Obviously, there's been a whole lot more warming since then to melt those, you know, ice sheets, you know, that are now gone, and that we now have our Great Lakes and our Finger Lakes and all that stuff as a direct result of that, you know. So again, it is a cyclic thing. You know, we sit there, we get a half a degree in temperature difference, and people start freaking out. You know, you get a hot summer day, and everybody blames it on climate change. It's so ridiculous what it has become. But again, there's, you know, you've got governments and you've got agendas out there that are really pushing this stuff. And if you speak out against that, then you're crazy and you don't know what you're talking about.
They also said, in the Olympics, they had like 36 cases among the athletes of COVID breaking out. Well, like that sprinter, he wasn't able to, when he finished, they had to wheel him off. I guess he was out of breath.
Yeah.
I think that just shows... COVID is not a natural thing. That was man-made.
Yeah.
I mean, the normal cycle for flus are you get higher in the winter. Now the rates are going back up.
Right. Right. You know, you're going to start getting it hit. You know, starting next month, you're going to start seeing the massive media advertising on the flu season and get your flu shots. Because, again, this is what happens.
COVID shot. Don't forget
that. Oh, yeah. And also, you know, now I said this in the very beginning when they first were coming out with the COVID vaccine. I says that will be in the yearly, you know, schedule, and they will push this thing on. It will never end. You know, COVID has evolved so much like every other flu virus has. Every year you're always having to tweak it and change it because it never stays the same. So that's just another big money-making, ridiculous thing out there. And again, they're still pushing the agenda. So it's like, why are people even testing for COVID anymore? Why are we even distinguishing that it's that? The treatment is no different. You know, there is no special treatment, whether it is COVID or some other flu type virus. You know, it's all the same. So why are we still putting these labels on it and making it such a big deal?
Well, just like a lot of scientists said that leave it run its natural course. I guess if there's more people, your natural immunity is going to take over eventually as it keeps weakening.
That's exactly what should have taken place. That's what should have taken place. This is where we have such problems today. You know, when there's a measles outbreak, everybody freaks out about it. Measles was a benign childhood disease. Yes, certain people died from that. There are people that are going to die from a hangnail, you know. I mean, that's going to happen. But when people are exposed to that, once you got it, you had lifetime immunity from that. The same way typically with chickenpox and measles, mumps, rubella, all those things. You know what? If you got them, you had lifetime immunity. Now, we don't allow those natural viruses to circulate amongst the populations. So our immune systems are not able to fight that. So now what we have seen in recent years is the dramatic increase in shingles. Well, shingles is caused by the same virus that causes chickenpox. But yet we're vaccinating all these young children against chickenpox, and it's never allowing that wild virus to circulate. As a result of that, you know what? When you've gone 20, 30, 40 years without any exposure, your immune system wanes. And although the virus is still there and it has a chance to reactivate. And that's where people are developing the shingles so much now. And so how does our society handle it? Oh, we give them a shingles vaccine now rather than just addressing
just
the root cause of the problem. Yeah, I know.
You get one. Now they got a new one. Yeah. Oh, this is much better than the old one.
It's the same game. It's always the same game. Yeah. It never ends. You know,
I just hope that, you know, I guess in the near future, the Olympics is going to be in the U.S. I hope they serve real meat by then.
Well, it depends on how the agenda goes, because believe me, they're pushing this harder and harder all the time. You know, and again, France is a very liberal country who, you know, really promotes all this stuff. So, you know, they've got the world stage. They've got the attention, you know, so they're going to push this. I'm just glad some people have spoken out. Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt.
Okay, thank you, Doctor.
Yeah, absolutely. Always appreciate your comments.
All right, thanks, Doug.
You know, you think about this. It's like, how did we ever survive? Back when I was a child, you know, the vaccine schedule was about 4 vaccines is what you got.
Right.
Okay. Now the current schedule is 72 vaccines.
Yeah.
Okay. And yet we have far sicker kids, learning disabled kids, autistic kids, all these things that are going on, you know, as a direct result of these things. And yet we just put up our blinders. We don't want to address it. We don't want to see it because, again, there's incredible profitability made by that. The sicker we keep our society, you know, the more profit we can make from that, both from the food industry and from the pharmaceutical industry. You know, and it's when people start taking responsibility for themselves and start saying enough is enough and start changing their diets, their lifestyles and so forth, that's when things will change. Right now, it just keeps getting worse. You look at this whole issue with Alzheimer's and dementia and stuff like this. This is a man-made, created problem. Our medical society, our pharmaceutical industry has created the whole issue with Alzheimer's and stuff.
Right.
with the use of statin drugs and the cholesterol-lowering drugs, when they found out that dietary cholesterol has virtually no effect whatsoever. Cholesterol is produced by your liver in what's needed in the body, and the dietary cholesterol is not a factor.
Right, and what is your brain matter mostly?
Yeah, it's cholesterol. It's cholesterol, right?
Yeah.
Saturated fat is absolutely critical and necessary, you know, for a human being to be healthy and to survive. You must have the essential amino acids and the essential fatty acids from fat and protein in order to survive. And yet, what has happened in the last 50 years, you know, don't eat meat, don't eat fat. You know, eat a lot of, you know, the standard American diet is like something like 60% carbohydrates. When carbohydrates are the one macronutrient that we have that has no, there is no requirement in the human body for any kind of carbohydrates. You know, you can't live without the protein and fats. And yet and you wonder why, you know. Walk into your local Walmart and see what's going on. You know,
that's the
rates of diabetes are out of control. The rates of obesity are out of control. And yet, this is the problem. It's not most people's fault. They're told this is the right thing to eat.
Right.
They're told this is the standard American diet. This is what you're supposed to do.
Grab a sandwich.
You know, right. And yet, it's created this incredible disaster in health that we're seeing in our society today. And it's not until people start waking up and saying, you know what, maybe you're not the best source of information. You know, maybe the American Heart Association, the American Diabetic Association, oh my God, we're sitting there and I have to watch what I say, but I have a family member who's in the hospital right now who is a diabetic.
Okay.
Who she's on the diabetic diet. And you look at it and it's like, it's a significant amount of carbohydrates. Okay, it's like, wait a minute here. This is, quote, the hospital diabetic diet, and yet and because her blood sugar levels are jumping up, she's not insulin dependent. But what are they doing? They're injecting her with insulin because her blood sugar is raising. It's like, why don't you look at what you're feeding them? You know, you know, as far as the amount of carbohydrates that you are putting into their body every day in the hospital situation, which is supposed to have the most healthiest food. What's in the hospital when you walk in? The first thing you get to is Tim Hortons, you know, all the pastries and donuts and all that stuff, you know, and the high sugared coffees and all those things. You know, this is, that stuff shouldn't be allowed in a hospital, in a hospital setting. You know, they're about promoting health. Absolutely not. It has nothing to do. It's all about sick care. It's not about health care. You know, it's incredibly frustrating when you see that.
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah. And you go back to the food thing. I watched a video the other day just on chicken. And you have to read the labels now. That if you, they don't have to label it as bioengineered. What they do have to label it is if it's not bioengineered. And it has to have a little sticker on it that says hatched. And raised chicken, believe it or not.
Really?
So if you go into any of your major food markets and see the grand wrapped chicken, if it has to say hatched on it somewhere,
I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not aware of what they're doing in that industry. Yeah. I mean, I know it in the mass market of, you know, the beef, poultry, and chicken market, and even the fish market now with the farm-raised, you know, fish. If I'm going to eat fish, you know, it better say wild caught, you know, on that. You know, if I'm going to eat salmon, I'm not going to eat farm-raised salmon and tilapia and things like that. You know, it better be wild caught because, again, it's not just the fish itself; it's what they feed these animals. You know, it's like in the beef industry and in the pork industry and in the chicken industry. It's what they're feeding them. You know, so it's not that those things are inherently bad. You know, you have different different makeups of, especially the fat content within animals, of a omega-3 versus an omega-6 fatty acids.
Mm-hmm.
And that ratio needs to be a much higher omega-3 with a very low omega-6 ratio. And omega-6s are far more inflammatory to the body. If the ratio is in the right percentage, not a problem. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is when you've got these animals that are so highly fed, grain-fed, you know, grain-finished and so forth, you have a much higher omega-6 content within the meat. So you can't tell the difference when you're eating the meat, whether it's, you know, where the source of it's from. If it's beef, it's beef, you know. But you've got a situation of the ratios of the content of the meat. And there's a significant difference in whether it's, you know, grass-fed, grass-finished. Pretty much all beef in this country is grass-fed. It's they're usually grain-finished, though. You know, usually the last 6 months of their life, they're taken into these concentrated feedlots, you know, and grain-fed to fatten them up. And what's the fattening for? Not for your health. The fattening is for the increase the weight to get the more dollar amount for the end product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing wrong with fattening up the cow, okay? The problem is how you're doing it, you know, is the issue. Because you can get them to market quicker, you know? So an older cow isn't as, you know, costs a lot more money to produce, you know, in order to get that fat content you need that has the right breakdown of the omega-6, omega-3 fatty acids, you know. But a grain-fed cow can get to market very, very quickly because they can fatten them up and get them to the weight they need in order to move them through that mass market.
Right. Now, when they're doing that, and again, pick your meats, growth hormones, yeah. Antibiotics.
Yeah, you know, there's a big push now on the thing, you know, like you'll see the, you know, like Purdue saying no antibiotics ever and, you know, and all this stuff. There's still precautions that have to be done when you're doing mass production. You know, when you've got 1,000 cattle in a feedlot, you know, with them up to their knees in their feces, you know, you've got to do something to protect that from the disease purpose. So, you know, you're going to be doing that, you know, and it gets to be a real gray area when you're dealing with, you know, how much are they utilizing as far as hormone injections versus antibiotic use and stuff like that.
Well, let's go back to, I'm thinking like the 1990s,
yeah,
late 1990s, mid-1990s. You got 11-year-olds with size 13 feet that eat at McDonald's regularly.
Yeah. Well, you had issues with, you know, five and six-year-olds reaching sexual maturity Because, you know, there was a study done in Puerto Rico back then where that was happening because of the hormones, within the chicken, you know, in the chicken industry, you know, so you're hitting, you know, girls and boys hitting puberty at 5 years old, which is virtually unheard of unless it's artificially induced. And what are we doing now in our, in our agenda right now is, you know, with puberty blockers and, you know, hormone replacement in children, you know, to, you know, for people to satisfy their particular agenda.
Right. Or their mental illness, whichever one of the week, your mental illness of the week. Pick that.
Right. And it's incredibly frustrating to see that, that kind of stuff being done because, you know, a lot of that stuff is irreversible once it's done. You can't make the change back once that system is destroyed. So yeah, it's frustrating where people are going with these things. You know, we have incredible technology out there. We know so much. We can do so much. It's whether it's directed in the right direction for the good of all, not for, you know, a certain, for especially for profit making.
Right.
You know, and it's become incredibly profitable.
It has. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Ask the Pro here on WLVL 1340 AM. Streaming worldwide at WLVL.com. My guest today is Dr. Ken Kerbs from Kerbs Family Chiropractic and Wellness. He's located at 471 Davison Road here in the city of Lockport. Now, if you would like to speak with him today, which we encourage everybody to call up at 433-1433, you can also use our text studio text line, which is also 433-1433. You can call or text your questions. We prefer you call because really, we'd like to have a conversation with you and find out what's on your mind and get your concerns addressed. And, of course, Dr. Ken is not afraid to talk about anything. So bring up your topic. He'll face it head on. Now, if you'd like to have a consultation in his office, that's another story. We're going to call 434-0671. That's 434-0671 to have a consultation in his office. But to just talk about general things, today we still have about 20 minutes left, 19, 20 minutes left in the show. We'd love to hear from you at 433-1433. I'm going to do this real quick.
Serving Niagara County from Niagara County, hometown 1340.
And that was the end of that. All 4 seconds worth.
All 4 seconds. Yeah, again, the purpose of me being here is to answer people's questions.
That's
and,
right.
And I don't particularly care what topic it's on. You know, I mean, I've, you know, I kind of cover a lot of areas, you know, and I mean, as a chiropractor dealing with the more, preventative and natural form of healthcare of allowing the body to do what it's intended to do. I mean, my job is to determine and remove the interference that's within the nervous system so that the body is allowed to be able to heal itself. And, that's the way, you know, I base my practice. But also so many things come into play with that, with nutrition, with exercise, with all those things. What I find most of the time is, you know, people literally want to be better. Okay, they want to be healthier. They want to be, you know, attain more in their life. They're just not willing, you know, to do what it takes. Because I can be brutally honest with people about what they need to do, but will they take that advice? No. You know, the vast majority will not. You know, they'll take your advice until they're out of their crisis, and then they'll go right back into the same routines. Believe me, I personally, I deal with that stuff every day on my own as far as, you know, trying to keep myself on an even track. And, you know, but you know what? I slip up. You know, I do things that probably aren't the best all the time, but I'm aware of it. Mm-hmm. I recognize it, and I'm able to correct that pretty quickly. So, yes. Let's go to the phones.
Good morning, caller. You are on Ask the Pro with our very own Dr. Ken Kerbs. What is your question, comment, or thought, please?
I have a question. If you've got somebody that's had a spinal fusion, mm-hmm. and they have a bulging disc above the fusion, what's the antidote for that?
Okay. So that is incredibly common to happen. Okay. Once a fusion is done, you know, you're taking vertebrae or spinal segments that were intended to move, and now you're fusing them together to become so that there is no movement. Well, the body still has to respond to that. So it's very common to see discs occurring above and below that, that then become the problem. The worst thing people do is they just jump right in and want to do more surgery. You know, when I look at a situation like that, and I've had many patients who are post-surgical fusions, and they can still be helped conservatively. You know, you have to look at where the interference is coming within that nervous system. Just because one sees a bulging disc does not mean that that is the underlying root cause of the problem. That's an adaptation the body is making to the intentional fusion that was done prior to that. So when I take a person like that, first of all, I certainly want to see current diagnostic testing, films, CAT scans, MRIs, and stuff of that area to see what's going on. But then I also am going to take it a step further and look at the neurological function, because so many times a disc herniation in the lower back may not be creating the problems you think, and the interference within that system is occurring much higher up. So a person with a spinal fusion, most of them are done in the lower back, but many have done in the neck also, does not preclude one to undergoing more conservative chiropractic care. It's just a very different approach when you have that.
I've got the bottom three. Bottom three are fused together, 5 screws and 2 steel plates, and yes. I've never had a problem with them.
How long ago was that done?
1991, oh, okay. September 6th.
Okay. Yeah,
and I never had a problem until here about 7-8 years ago. I had to pick a person up and turn with them and set them in their wheelchair, and I've had periodic problems ever since.
Yeah, that's...
I bend over and do something, and then it gets to bother me. I have to sit down or lay down for a couple of minutes, and it relaxes it and go right back to what I was doing.
I just say I have not been
easy on the back since I've had it done.
Right. And you've been incredibly fortunate. That's 28 years, you know, that you had the spinal fusion. So you've been incredibly lucky that you haven't had more issues with that. And that's the more of the exception to the rule. But again, realize you are also 28 years older. Okay. And there's been 28 more years of wear and tear on that area. So that when you stressed it, like you said, lifting somebody into the wheelchair or whatever, you push that boundary and you push it over the edge and created another situation. You know,
well, I pushed the boundary since a month after I had the 7 hours of surgery, and it pushed the boundary. I mean, I got right back into my normal routine of what I was doing before I had back surgery, and up until the time I did that lifting and turning, quite a few years later, I never had a better problem.
Right. And like I said, again, that you're an exception to the rule. You're very fortunate. It doesn't mean that you're not going to ever have a problem with that. Now, what's going to be done about that is really going to determine, first of all, how severe is it? You know, how much degenerative change is also involved with it, because the more degenerative changes, the less likely there is success with the surgical intervention. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of factors coming into play. Have you had it evaluated by the orthopedic or neurosurgeon at this point?
Other than going in and having an MRI to make sure that there was no bent or broken screws or anything, they really didn't. You know, that was all they looked at the time. So,
and what was the recommendations though, based on that?
Really nothing, because that's the only thing that I had asked to look for, just because that's where I figured the problem was coming from. But it was up above that. And at my age, they would tell me I'm only probably a year or two older than you are.
Do I recognize this voice? Do you know me?
We grew up together.
Okay,
we
rode
the same school bus together.
I know exactly who you are now. So yes, and I mean I've known some of your history, and it's a tough situation, you know, that you're in, because what do you do about it? You know, now there, an aggressive surgeon would want to go in there and cut you again. I would say, well, you might want to think about that. First of all, how long ago did this happen? This event where you lifted somebody and it created a problem? How long? What time frame are we dealing with?
What's that now?
What time frame? So you said you were doing fine until you lifted this person to put him in the wheelchair. When did that happen? How long ago did that happen?
I don't know, probably 8-9 years ago.
Okay. Oh, so it's been a long time. Yeah.
So yeah. I've been dealing with this, you know, but I've been working through it. I've known how to relax it and go right back. I thought, but I know I've kind of shied away from any manipulation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the fusion.
Right. You're exactly right. And the other thing is that, you know, your body has been compensating for it. There is no quick fix magic of what I do. That's for sure. There's no magic adjustment I can give a person in your situation and have that go away. That's the kind of thing that you almost have to take a different route because you can't get into that fused area, you know, and deal with that directly. It's fused. There's never going to be any motion in that area. You know, you sometimes have to go through the back door and work on it separately, you know. So yeah, that's
I just wanted to, you know, yeah. check because I've been dealing with it for quite a long time, and I've learned to compensate and learn how to deal with it. But you know, as we all get older, you know, things just ain't what they used to be when we were 20 years old.
Right. Right. You know, when I look at, you know, you look at an example, like, you know, for you, as far as like longevity, look at how long your dad lived. You know, he made it to what, 101 or?
He's 3 months shy of 101.
Yeah. 3 months shy of 101. My dad just died a year ago at 94, you know? So, you know, you look at that longevity and think, well, am I going to make it to that point? You know, am I going to reach those kind of levels? You know, and that's the thing.
Oh, I don't want to get that old, believe me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because you and I have a very different perspective. You've been through a lot more physically with your body than I have. I look at myself now at my age and look at my dad that was at my age, and I'm in far better condition than my father was, you know, at that age, you know, and I'm very conscious about things that I do as far as, you know, diet, exercise, and just mental well-being and so forth. So it's like, you know what, I'm shooting for that goal. Don't know if I'm going to make it, but I'm shooting for that. And I, you know, I'm pretty confident that, you know, unless something catastrophic happened, that I certainly could get there. Other people, like, I mean, you've dealt with this chronic situation, and you're so lucky that you got away with it for 28 years, you know, of not having a problem. But everything has its limitations, and you pushed it too far. I thought it was more of a recent situation, but this is, you know, with it being 8-9 years, I mean, you got a tough situation there. That's not something, because sometimes they'll just run their course, you know, they'll get inflamed, and then, you know, after a few months, you know, to a year, it'll settle down, and your body will compensate for it. But again, you drive yourself hard, and, you know, you've never backed off, and you're paying the price for that.
Well, it has helped a little bit by taking the weight off. I've lost close to over 70 pounds.
Oh, so that's awesome. That's awesome.
It has helped.
Yep, absolutely, that will. You know, your diet can help a lot. You know, you cut the carbohydrates out of your diet, man, not only will you lose more weight, but you will also decrease the inflammation in your body that's going on. You know, increase the animal fat, the saturated fat in your diet, and decrease the carbohydrates. That's a game changer as far as inflammation goes, and you can make a huge difference with that, you know? But, I mean, you were always a big guy, you know? I mean, And that's something, again, carrying that additional weight, you know, is good. I mean, not, it's not good that it's carried. It's that the fact that you've dropped 70 pounds is going to make it definitely makes a difference.
It's made a big difference on my legs. So.
Yeah, sure. Sure it will. Yeah.
All right. Kenny, have a good one.
All right. Thanks so much, Dale. You take care. Good talking to you again.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Well, there's some real-life experience.
Yeah.
It's
I've known that man all his life. You know, pretty much we literally rode the same school bus together.
Okay.
He's a couple of years older than me. And you know, it was so I know the history, you know.
Yep.
And it's, you know, he's gotten away with a lot. Most people wouldn't. You know, cuz he's a big framed man, you know. I mean, yep. and so the, you know, a lot of times that doesn't hold up as well. He's always been a very strong guy, you know, so, yep. You know, was able to put up with that. And also a hard worker. I mean, you know, he never held back,
right.
You know, from doing the things that he needed to do. You know,
right. You live on a farm, it needs to get done.
Yeah, you do what you got to do. You know, that's called survival.
That's right. We have yet another call, Dr.
All right, let's go.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Dr. Ken Kerbs here on WLVL 1340 AM, streaming worldwide at WLVL.com. The number is 433-1433. Good morning, caller. You are on with Dr. Ken.
Hi.
Good morning.
What do you know about vertigo?
Say that again. I didn't hear that.
Vertigo.
Oh, vertigo. Okay. So, I'm sorry. I didn't understand. It was muffled when I heard that. So vertigo is a situation with, you know, imbalance and dizziness. Okay. And again, there's so many factors that come into play with vertigo. And many times, again, in my practice, first of all, the medical profession tends to look at the inner ear, you know, and the imbalances within the inner ear as far as creating the vertigo, and that has to be ruled out. But many times vertigo is a neck issue. It's a cervical spine issue, you know, due to the imbalance in the system that's throwing the whole situation off. So usually when people have positional changes, you know, getting up from, you know, getting up into a sitting position or getting from sitting up into standing, you know, or turning their head a certain way, it'll kind of overwhelm them with the dizziness and the vertigo. And it can be quite debilitating for some people who have it in bad situations. I've dealt with it many times in the past. Have had pretty good results with it, approaching it from the cervical spine and nervous system point of view. But again, the ear issue also has to be ruled out.
Okay.
What's been done with it so far?
They put some shots in my my neck, and
they put shots in your neck for vertigo. Okay, what was the purpose of that? That doesn't make sense.
Well, I went to see at the Dutton Building this doctor, and he gave me shots, and then my legs didn't work. My arms didn't want to work, and oh, brother, what a mess!
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He mistreated me because, like I says, I couldn't walk my legs. Every time I try to get my legs to walk, and it didn't help the vertigo at all.
Yeah, there's something definitely more going on with you than just a vertigo situation. Then, you know, that's, you know, when you're having situations with your ability to walk and the use of your limbs, you know, you've got something. Let me just ask you a couple of questions. First of all, how old are you?
74.
Okay. And is this a new problem that's come on, or is this something that you've had issues with over the years?
No, this is a new problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's a situation. When the reason I asked your age is because, again, you look at the amount of wear and tear or degenerative changes that can occur within the spine specifically, which are going to affect the central nervous system. You know, so you really need to take an evaluation. Was any testing done on you, like any MRIs or CAT scans or anything like that, before they opted for this treatment?
No. Wow. This is the first time I met the guy, and He gave me two shots in my neck. I didn't even know he was giving me the shots in my neck, and I was so surprised. And he's massaging my neck, and all of a sudden, wham! He gave me a shot, and then on the other side of my neck, he gave me a shot. I says, "What'd you do that for?"
And what was his explanation of that?
That's what you needed was these.
Wow. You know, it's interesting because there's a thing called informed consent, you know, that maybe they should have discussed that with you as far as your potential options so that you could make the decision whether you wanted to go through with that or not and not just go ahead and do that. And then you pay the consequences for that.
I didn't have problems. Like my feet, both my feet are swollen up now. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to walk. And I never had that problem. The only problem I have is when I'm cooking, like I'm on the stove and I'm cooking like food and stuff. And when I've got my neck bent, that's when I have a problem. And I just got to get out of the kitchen and go sit down.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, again, those type of things, you know, it's a positional change. Like I said, when you have your neck bent, I mean, there's obviously issues going on with your neck. You know, that what you need is, you know, there needs to be some evaluation as far as x-rays, MRIs and stuff like that done of your neck. And I would start with your primary doctor and say, look, we need to evaluate this better. Don't just send me off to dent and, you know, have somebody randomly inject my neck with something. I mean, that's just such a
steroids. They put steroids.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's again,
oh my God, I got that shot and I was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You know, cause that, again, that isn't a catch-all answer to solving your problems. There's obviously some underlying issues that are going on, but you need to have, a further evaluation of that. And I would start with your primary doctor. So
very good. Well, thank you so much, caller. We hope, hope you can get this resolved and
they're going to be cutting us off the air in within a moment.
Yeah,
so
within a couple of minutes.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for your call. Good luck with that.
All right, quick break for station identification here.
Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, and proud of it.
Hometown 1340 WLBL Lockport.
All right, Doc, we got about a minute left.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, conclusions.
Winding down.
How does this time go so fast?
I know.
Every time.
It truly amazes me. But, you know, it just starts coming down to people need to start questioning. It frustrates me when, especially in the healthcare industry, I see it in my own field. I see it in so many fields. When you just blanketly believe whatever they tell you.
Right.
You know, and in this day in modern age with access to internet and stuff like that, people should be questioning. It's like, you are not going to do anything to me unless I am totally convinced that that's going to be an appropriate treatment and work for me. Don't just blanketly believe somebody just because they tell you. I've always tried to play that very straightforward, honest game, and people need to take responsibility for their own actions.
Agree.
You know, because something happens and then you go ahead and blame it on it's everybody else's fault, when in fact, you know, the idea is, first of all, never to get into that situation.
Right.
And once you're in it, it's about being responsible for making the appropriate decisions, you know, that you can make so that the appropriate treatment can be done.
Goes right back to the beginning of the show. We make decisions.
Absolutely.
Every morning. Our life is going
to
go.
As I've always said to my kids, make good choices out
there,
people.
Thanks, Dr. Ken. We'll see you next time.
Appreciate it.